We're going to be this morning in, start in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. We focus so much on the love of God that we forget who God is. We can't even appreciate why God's love is so amazing to us. And the reason we can't is because religion has made the love of God so obtainable by just merely doing what you want to do and being who you want to be. That God loves us so much that it doesn't matter what we are, what we were, or what we become. You can't understand God's love until you understand his wrath. You can't understand God's love till you understand what he's got stored up for humanity. And it's a little bit different message this morning. I'm going to be reading a lot more because a lot that I'm going to be reading needs no explanation. A lot of people don't read the book of Revelation very much because they say it's hard to understand. Well, we're not meant to understand it. What we do is we focus so much on trying to determine the events of Revelation than focusing on the fact that Revelation's going to happen. Are you millennial? You're premillennial? You postmillennial? Are you a Calvinist? Are you all these things that man has divided us up into? Well, Revelation's going to happen, and that's what we should focus on, is not when it's going to happen, because Jesus Christ doesn't even know when he's coming back, and yet man wants to determine, well, this is what this means, and this is this nation, and this is this country, and this is how God's going to do this. And he doesn't tell us. Okay? Doesn't tell us. But yet we spend so much time, and everybody, when somebody puts on a Revelation Bible study, everybody flocks to that Revelation Bible study. They think they're gonna you know what Revelation is? It's a revelation. Wasn't a trick question. God reveals it. He's the only one that reveals it. And he did not reveal the end times to us in the way that man has set forth. Man does not know what's going to happen at the end of time. What he does tell us is that if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be thrown in the lake of fire. If you receive the mark of the beast, you'll be thrown in the lake of fire. If you're not born again, you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. If you're just religious, you're going to be born in the lake of thrown into the lake of fire. If you're just a Baptist, you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. That's what it says. Now, that's what we ought to focus on, folks, is to make sure that we're not being thrown into the lake of fire, okay? That we are his righteousness, and he's pleased with us. And so that verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. But we don't focus on that. We focus on the fact that he sent his Son because he loved us. Well, you can't even begin, as I've said earlier, to understand God's love and stand in awe of him and stand in fear of him. That's what he says. It says that we are to fear him all the days of our life. Okay? That we are to be in awe of who he is. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. And yet, there doesn't seem to be any of that in our modern day churches. We are so focused on Jesus that we forgot that it's God who sent Jesus. It's God who grafted us Gentiles in. It's God that allowed the work of Jesus that Jesus did for the nation of Israel to benefit us. And we can't even begin to understand that kind of love because we don't understand what's stored up for us. Listen to what this says in Hebrews. It's a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It is a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And he wrote that after above it says, for if you go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice of sin. So, guess what? Truth has been revealed. No man's without an excuse. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one can come to me that's not granted by the Father. So you have to understand that how the scriptures work is to put the mystery of God together, which God reveals to us his truth. Okay? And so in this truth, it leads to discipleship, and from discipleship, being taught by God, not by man, we come to the saving knowledge of who he is, which allows us to be born again, and the Holy Spirit reside within us. So let's begin to look at Revelations and why this verse was written, that it's a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Revelation 6, I'll be then reading this whole chapter. It says, "Then I saw the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, 'Come.'" It wasn't an invitation, it was a command. "You come, I'm telling you what to do." I think we forget that God tells us what to do. Somewhere we have lost that sense that God tells us what to do. And if we don't do what God tells us what to do, then we're going to suffer that. We're born into the wrath of God. Did you know that? That we're born in iniquity. We're born in sin. We're born spiritually dead. Did you not? I mean, the scripture is very plain on that. It says, "I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer," which is happening, folks. You got Russia trying to take over this nation. You got this other nation trying to take over this nation. And the conquering is happening. Man wants to conquer. Man has always wanted to conquer. Man is never satisfied with what they have. Do you understand that? We always want more, and never is more enough. Because when we get more, then we have to have more. And when we've got more, we got to get more. Because that is trying us to fill the void, which can't fill the void which God left in us, which is that void of not knowing him, okay? I mean, we must know him. That's what makes humanity complete, is when the Holy Spirit resides within us, and then we should be complete. But that's the first seal. You're going to find out that maybe some of these seals have already been opened. This is in verse 3. "When he broke the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, 'Come.' And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another with a great sword that was given to him." I mean, is man's love not grown cold, as it says in the other parts of Scripture? Do we not take a life at no thought? Our kids are raised up in these video games where all you do is go out and shoot people, and then if you get shot, you just push a button, and guess what? The game starts all over again. That's not life. But sometimes they lose the reality of life because that's all they do is play these video games, and then we wonder why these young kids go in and shoot up the schools, is because they do not have any reality. It doesn't show that when that person dies, that the heartfelt feelings and the mourning that goes on in the family that lost that one that just got shot. It doesn't show all of that, the remorse of now life has changed for that particular family or individual. So we are allowing our kids to live in a reality where Satan is using this so that our love and our next generation that's growing up, the love will be cold. Peace will be taken from the earth. I mean, people road rage. They'll shoot somebody versus nobody works anything out anymore. It's basically, let's just annihilate them. Our laws do not do what they're supposed to do. If you kill somebody, you're supposed to be killed by the government, by the law. That's just what God says. Understand that the Ten Commandments says murder. It doesn't say don't kill. A big misconception about God's commandments. When God says, if you take the life of another man, you're to die. And it's the responsibility of us, the people, to put that person to death. And we don't do that. But the peace is going to be taken from the earth. We're going to slay one another. We're already doing it. There's so many, you know, there's murders every day. Every single day. The amount of people that are just maliciously killed with no thought, no remorse, because there's no fear of God, because God is now beginning to take the peace away. The restrainer is slowly being removed, which is the Holy Spirit, and it's going to allow lawlessness, all the lawlessness, to come into the world Folks, we've seen nothing yet. It hasn't gotten as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. It hasn't gotten as bad as the first world that God destroyed. And when God said, "I'm sorry I ever made man," that the stink of the sin of man reached his nostrils and he destroyed the whole earth and ate through. He saved them physically, not spiritually, by the way, because that's why we're turning right back to what we were and what we will be and how bad it is going to get. There's a third seal. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked and behold, a black horse, and he sat on it, a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius." That's a day's wage. 3/4 of a barley for a denarius. And do not damage the oil and the wine. What are we experiencing right now? Okay, guy was telling me the other day he went to McDonald's, him, his wife, and his small child. And as they went through, their bill was $40. Yes, ma'am. Okay, have you bought anything lately? Have you had any repairs done on your car lately? Have you been to the vet lately? Have you been how expensive things are and how your dollar doesn't buy anything anymore? I'm not saying. I'm just throwing it out there. The end of time has begun, folks. When you have to pay that much for a piece of bread with those thin little pieces. Have you noticed the meat's gotten thinner too? Huh? Have you noticed? And yet we just go on like, "Oh, no big deal." We're not reading the signs of the times, folks. There's no fear in us. There's no fear of what's happening in us. We just think everything's just going to keep going and the next generation and all that's going to just everything's just going to be fine. Well, it's not. The fourth seal. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an Asian horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. How much pestilence is going on now? Every week there's a fire, there's a flood, there's a tornado. So the pestilences are here. Again, a fourth of the earth. When that COVID came through, how many people died from that? Not necessarily it was COVID, it just got attacked to COVID. But think about this for a second. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, folks. You determine yourself what's going on, but if animals are not scared anymore. We've got coyotes coming up on the porches stealing animals and dogs, and when they get hungry and stuff, I mean, the animals aren't afraid of us hardly anymore. I'm just throwing it out there, folks. That's the fourth seal. The fifth seal. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was even given to them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants had been brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. This talks about them being beheaded in Revelations. Do you know there's already, the Muslims have already done that? They've already had a certain amount of how they're killing people that are considered Christians, followers of Christ. They're beheading them. And you don't think this word of God is not true when we're seeing that happen? But there'll be a certain amount of people that will be beheaded. And when that last head comes off, then the rest of this will begin to happen whenever God determines that will happen. In the sixth seal, I looked, and when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell from the earth to the earth, and a fig tree cast its unique figs were shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders of the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains on the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Now they're afraid. They're not fearing God. Now they're afraid of God. He tells us to be fear him, not be afraid of him. Okay? The fear of him is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of him is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of him, we understand his magnificence. We understand the awness of who he is. That he has the next breath that you take in his hand. He is sovereign over all. He can do and bless who he blesses. He can harden who he hardens. He can curse whom he curses. And whatever he does is correct. The clay cannot say to the maker, "Why'd you make me this way?" You have no right to question or even analyze God. The fact that he's even made himself known to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we begin to understand the mysteries of God through the revelation which he gives to us, not man, is mind-boggling. We should fear him. Don't wait to the point where you're afraid of him. Let's look at Revelations 8. This is the seventh seal. The seventh seal has a lot with it. There are trumpets that will be sounded upon the earth. It says, "When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a gold censer, and much incense was given him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints of the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand." Understand, the Lamb is orchestrating this, but where does it go? So there's a biblical principle here, folks, is Jesus is the gateway, the door to God. We're not just to go to Jesus. Okay? Again, supporting this truth by Scripture and not by religion. "Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds of flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in the mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" See, we just thought that was pretty bad already, didn't we? Folks, we don't look at this. God's going to put an end to this at some point. I don't know when. Jesus doesn't know when. But he's telling us what's going to happen. We need to focus on what's going to happen. This ought to make you fear. This ought to make you tremble and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But see, we don't teach this. We don't talk about this. When we people look at Revelation, they don't look at what's going to happen. They're trying to figure out when it's going to happen. The fifth trumpet, the bottomless pit. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of it, out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass or of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So you're talking about the mark of the beast. Satan doesn't do anything originally. He tries to mimic the God that he's trying to be. That's why he was cast out of heaven, because he was trying to be God instead of staying in his place, which was an archangel. And he wanted that power. So what you see is Satan, how he deals with us. He tries to mirror what God does. And so you must have the seal of God on your forehead, or you're in trouble during this particular time, if you're still around. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. So God's not going to allow anybody to die during this time. Okay? You're going to be in torment. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of a woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They had tails like scorpions and stings in their tails, in their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek his name is Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw the vision of the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates of color of fire, and hyacinth and brimstone, and heads of the horses are like the heads of the lions. Out of the mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. Man, it's kind of some science fiction movie, isn't it? A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in the mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like serpents, and their heads have heads, and with them they do harm. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver, of brass, of stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So there comes a time where men will not be able to repent. And people say, well, Jesus has been coming back forever. Again, I state my case. We have so many theologians trying to figure out when Jesus is coming instead of just reading the scriptures and say that Jesus doesn't know when he's coming. It's amazing what man tries to figure out about God, and understanding they can't figure anything out about God. In Ecclesiastes, he even tells us, did it not? We read it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. They cannot figure it out. Why can't we get that through our thick skulls that we cannot figure this out? We can't go to a Bible study. We can't go to a conference. We can't do anything but stand before Almighty God and humble ourselves and say, God, don't let this be me. Instead, religion, all you got to do is this, and all you got to do is this, and welcome to the kingdom of God. That's not going to happen. Not in Scripture. Never going to happen. Okay? Had a gentleman this week come in and said, I remember one statement that Billy Graham said that stuck with me. He said he expected half of the church to go to hell. I said, let me clarify that for you. None of the church goes to hell. He looked at me kind of funny. I said, yeah, if you're born again and you're a child of God, you don't go to hell. I said, now, it's the modern day church, the religious church, that maybe half the people are there will be in heaven, but the other half will be in hell. It's real simple, folks. If you're not born again, you're going to die and go to hell. I mean, I don't know how much more plain the Bible can make this and the Scriptures can make this, that if you're not taught by God, you don't go through a discipleship, and that wind doesn't blow in your life to where the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you, then this is what is stored up for you. Okay. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day, this is in verse 15. The year were released, and so that they would kill a third of mankind. Heard a million, and they were going to skip down. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hand as to not worship demons. They just didn't repent. They could care less. They had no power to repent. We have no power to repent. Man can't repent of what they are. If we could repent of what we are, that means we kept the law perfectly. And there's not no one that can keep the law, because if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of the what? The whole law. So all man is condemned. So we need to understand that we can't repent unless we're given the power to repent by the nature of God that lives within us, that puts through the Holy Spirit, puts the deeds of the flesh to death. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. And then Revelation 16. Now there's six bowls of wrath. We're not done. The Lamb who is the wrath of God. We always look at him as the salvation of God. But you know, he's just as much the wrath of God. He's going to be the one that carries out the wrath of God. Is that same Jesus that you're praising and glorifying and calling the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that the same Jesus is going to carry out the wrath of the Father just as he did the salvation of the Father. And we forgot that, don't we? Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became loathsome and malignant sores on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. That mark of the beast is going to be interesting. It's not going to be like the COVID vaccine where you can't see your children unless you get COVID vaccine. You can't work unless you get the COVID. That was a forerunner of the mark of the beast, folks. We need to wake up what happened when the whole world was held into prison by a misconception of a virus that was tagged on to something else. COVID is Corona is part of the common cold. It's been around forever. And every season, it's the same common cold. You can't cure the, you ever heard you can't cure the common cold? Well, that's why you can't cure it, because it's incurable. God had made it incurable. But there's going to be a mark of the beast. You're going to have to watch your children starve to death. They're not going to receive medical attention when they can be saved. Your family members, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be thirsty. Because you can't do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. You can't function in society without the mark of the beast. Okay? It's not like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and get this mark of the beast so I can get my grandchildren fed. No, you got to watch them die. Because if you receive the mark of the beast, you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man. And every living thing, now everything in the sea dies. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. Still calling God holy. Calling him righteous. Huh? For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God and Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun and was given it to scorch men with fire. It's been hot this summer, hasn't it? Been hot. We've not seen global warming yet. When God comes, you're going to see global warming. Okay? Now let's talk about global warming. And you know what? You can't do anything about it. Okay? Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent as to give him glory. Sad time for humanity, isn't it? Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up so that they would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings in the whole world to gather them together for a war of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake. You know what that means? That means you don't become lulled to sleep by the precepts and the concepts of religion or this world. And the only way you can stay awake is by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and sticking to the Word of God and making sure you do not deviate to the left or to the right. See, God's love has a lot of conditions. He loves us if we do His commandments. Jesus is our friend if we do what He says. Nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody just wants to call him our friend. He's not your friend. He's God's son. And he can become your friend. But he's not just your friend because you say he's your friend. But you got to stay awake and keep his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gather them together to the place which is Hebrew called Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it's done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there has not been since men came upon the earth. So great earthquake was it, and it was so mighty. The great city was split three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the great was remembered before God to give her the cup of wine of her fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And a huge hailstone, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. I think every now and then it's good to kind of read that, because people aren't reading that on their own. And you want to know why I stand in awe of God? You want to know why I fear Him? Because I've read what He's going to do. And I don't think anybody realizes this. This is going to come true. It's coming true. As we live, it's coming true. And yet, religion has been able to deceive, because Satan comes in and acts like an angel of light. And he deceives men to believe a false Jesus and a false God, instead of reading the scripture for what it's for. Jesus is not just your Savior. He's your judge. And he will carry out the wrath of God. You better have the right Jesus that leads you to the fear of God. Okay? Enough said. Let's pray.